fighting for America.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
Stop assassinating black people!
Tom Brown smashed up. Police cars on fire.
You need to stop throwing objects at the police.
One of the tear gas canisters on the street. Dispersing right now.
Fighting for Idaho.
This is 5 million people being given amnesty that Congress rejected, that the American people have rejected.
Fighting for you.
It's just such a great time of year to really be grateful for what we have and to celebrate what we've accomplished over the year and also to do things for others.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, thank you for starting your day with us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Good to have you with us, and we're so thankful to be with you. This is a marvelous forum, a privilege in the age of all these other digital elements that we have to be on America's, and in particular Idaho's, first forum of electronic media. Electronic communication. In fact, I always like to tell folks when I'm at the schools or anywhere else that if it hadn't been for AM radio, there would be no FM radio, there would be no television, there would be no texting, there would be none of what we have today. And I understand that, but 85 years ago, this great station was launched. And like I say time and time again, I am so honored that you listen. And we go back and forth in the era of shows being pumped out of Boswala and national this and national that, that we keep that local talk radio vibe alive. And we have a lot to talk about this hour. One case in particular is nothing sacred. And what do you mean by that, Kevin Miller? Well, it's nothing sacred. And sometimes, you know, during the week they go, I like to check out of politics and, you know, eat the cranberry and the gravy and the turkey, but we never check out of politics because we're here for you. In fact, I'd appreciate it if we go back to the old school. Don't look at your tablet. Don't watch television. Okay, you can watch the shows, but don't watch the news and just rely on us. We'll tell you everything you need to know. No, but anyway, there's a story here, and I was thinking about it, and I thought to myself, I'm just going to wait for a time when it's just you and me, and let you ponder this. This came from ABC News, and it didn't happen last week or whatever, but it's a story that I've been saving, and Mrs. Miller will tell you that I'm a hoarder. In fact, I'll go get a book, I'll walk around with it, and I won't read it. And she'll look at me like I'm a nut, which is all the time, and say, aren't you going to read that book? Well, no, I'm going to keep it. Well, you should read the book. Well, I don't want to ruin it. Or a magazine. Well, you bought that magazine. You bought this. You're going to use it. No, I'm going to keep it. Well, you should get rid of it if you're not going to use it. No, I'm going to keep it. And I do that with news stories as well. So here's a story from ABC News. And because we live in Idaho, because we have no problem talking about our faith, our families in the land of freedom, whether that exists in Manhattan or Los Angeles, it exists here in our Treasure Valley. I thought I would share something with you that I'm thinking to myself, does everybody have to attack God? Do we have to attack God? Is nothing sacred to, as Bill O'Reilly would say, the secular humanists in the mainstream media? This is Lara Spencer of Good Morning America, revealing with glee this rather nebulous story. Do we have it, Sweet William? Let's take a listen.
New book making some shocking claims about the life of Jesus Christ. According to the Lost Gospel, Jesus married Mary Magdalene and they had two children.
You know, here's the funny thing about this. Holy Da Vinci Code. The Lost Gospel. And I know that I used to be on TMZ, and this is my big break. But is nothing sacred in the news media than to further speculation to undermine Christianity? Oh, he was married and he had this. In fact, Tom Hanks really was that guy in the Da Vinci Code. You know, Newsweek used to do this either at Christmas, and maybe Time Magazine still does it, those of you that read those rags. And it would always be like a negative story about Christianity, a negative story about religion, a negative story about faith. And I thought, if we ever had an equal outlet at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, we would defend the faith. We would defend America. And it's funny because I never hear the stories about any other faith. Nobody ever attacks the validity of the Torah, of the Quran, or anything else, right? But they go after our faith, or the faith of the predominantly the folks in America, to be politically correct. Let's hear more, shall we?
The authors even say they have evidence to back up their claims. ABC's Dan Harris has our story.
I am Dan Harris.
It's the controversial claim at the heart of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife.
And this morning, an explosive new interpretation of ancient texts agrees, saying Jesus Christ not only married prostitute Mary Magdalene, but also had two children with her.
I don't think that there's any credibility in these claims at all. There is simply no evidence in this text or anywhere else that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, much less that they had a couple of children.
Finally, and that was a professor from Duke University laying the smackdown on this. But if you notice the reporters, whether it's Dan Harris, whether it's Lara Spencer, with glee reporting these things, and it kind of comes down to what we battle each and every day. And I know you don't battle this at the dinner table, but when you see your kids, your grandkids, your friends, your family, you think to yourself, the battle for the hearts and the minds, the impressions. And you're going to have people say, well, it was on the news, it was in the tablet, it was this, it was that. It has to be true. No, it doesn't. And just like the professor of religious studies at Duke University said, there's no proof to it. And here's something that we all have to live with ourselves, right? I was watching this story on Lisa Ling. You know who Lisa Ling is? She's the one that looks like Lucy Liu on the television. Lucy Liu is on Sherlock or whatever that show is. Lisa Ling, award-winning journalist. I think both about the same age. And so I'm watching this story about exotic dancers, or you can call them what they purport to be, but this is a family values show, so we're going to refrain from it. And how they present themselves for money and how it's a big deal and money, 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 money. We all have to do this in life. And I've often said to myself, if we had no scruples, my own personal opinions, I would, if I didn't know that I would have to answer to God for my actions, there's two things that I would sell. One would be religion. And probably, you know, you'd be like these folks, these televangelists or what have you. And look, nothing against them, just my own personal peccadillo. You could be like them and sell, sell, sell. And, you know, they make a lot of money, which, again, I really don't know how that works because Jesus said you should help the poor. And then, on the other hand, it would be the adult entertainment industry, or you know that other word, but which we won't use here at 580KIDO in the morning. It would be that word because, again, the scruples aren't there. And so then you look at the media. You have a book that is just speculative, but it's so salacious that the Da Vinci Code could be right. I don't know how these folks live with themselves. Maybe that's why I never, well, that and I'm a porker, but where did I get that? Anyway, maybe that's why I never delved into the realm of television news, because you have to live with yourself. And really, when the news media was created, when, you know, they talked about the printed word and the printed press, it was for the public good. It wasn't for an agenda. So here we have Good Morning America, the number one show in the morning, because we're fun, we're wacky, we're zany. And they attack Christianity with no proof. Let's just, again, listen to this one more time. And again, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's just that they talk about this with glee.
It's a new book making some shocking claims about the life of Jesus Christ. According to the Lost Gospel, Jesus married Mary Magdalene.
Now, there is no Lost Gospel. That's just the name of the book. But a lot of people are going to go, oh, the Lost Gospel, what is that? Hey.
They had two children. The authors even say they have evidence to back up their claims.
Sure they do. And you're saying, Kevin, why are you getting fired up? Why is this a news story? These answers have to be challenged. Otherwise, they go down as well. Yeah, lost gospel.
ABC's Dan Harris has our story.
It's the controversial claim at the heart of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife.
And this morning, an explosive new interpretation of ancient texts agrees, saying Jesus Christ not only married prostitute Mary Magdalene, but also had two children with her.
I don't think that there's any credibility in these claims at all. There is simply no evidence in this text or anywhere else that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, much less that they had a couple of children.
There you have fact over fiction, but that doesn't stop the folks at ABC. Do want to thank our friends from Newsbusters for breaking that down. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at the First Lady's push for the school lunch program. Once again, our friends at ABC jumping into this that everybody's having a good time. Now, I know in America we want to make sure that our kids are well fed and that the kids are having a good time and we're fighting childhood obesity and everything else. But some kids, believe it or not, are actually starving when it comes to the school lunch program because they don't like the vegetables. And the vegetables, look, are great, and as we know, but they don't give you the caloric need, the caloric load that you get with, you know, the junk food. And here's the thing that that I don't get. We're going to hear from this from George Stephanopoulos coming up here at 580 KIDO. It's something I don't understand, okay? We have lived a great life, and we have kids that are beautiful, young, and healthy. And let's face it, I think part of the rite of passage is having, you know, that noodles and meat thing, whatever they call it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of gobbledygook, you know, cheese mac or something like that, whatever it is. That's part of the appeal of going to lunch. You go, hey, what is that? Oh, it looks okay. It fills you up, right? Instead, we're turning our kids into vegans and vegetarians, and the kids are rebelling. Now, this is serious stuff, of course. How serious is it? The New York Times magazine did a 12 or 15 page expose on the, and I kid you not, on the politicization, it's a word I promise, the politicization, I don't think he's a Asian, you know what I'm saying, of the school lunch program. Why? Because people have issues with Michelle Obama. I loved Laura Bush. She wanted to build libraries. Hillary Clinton, well, she wanted health care. I think her health care would be better than what we have today. Barbara Bush, well, she was a good one. Nancy Reagan, say no to drugs. Come on. Let the kids eat. We'll talk about it next. Kevin Miller, thank you all for joining us. 580 KIDO.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Howdy ho, K Millie, 580 KIDO. It is Thanksgiving week. We are so thankful, you know it, to be with you every step of the way. If you're driving through, we're your wingmen. That's right, 580kido.com. Follow me on Twitter. I need some friends. Kevin Miller Show, Facebook Kevin Miller Show, the station at 580kido on Twitter, 580kido on Facebook, and just plain old Kevin Miller if you're looking for a friend. All right, have we covered everything on the – what? Nope. We talked about Instagram already a while ago, right? Yeah, well, if you missed that, yeah, you're at people tuning in all the time. Coming soon, Instagram. And Tumblr, and Bumbler, and Fumbler. I know we joke about the social media, but it is such a relevant aspect of our lives today, and that's why we continue to keep the dream alive. 85 years of broadcast excellence right here, Idaho's first radio station, 580 KIDO, in the age of the phones and everything else. We give you the old-fashioned media, the talking. In fact, when you take a look at the tablets, when you take a look at the news, hey, let's hear what you have to say. All that is... is just imitating what we've done for years here at 580KIDO and just talk to you and listen, not just talk at you. All right, the school lunch program has become politicized. To quote William O'Reilly, what's the U, George Stephanopoulos?
Battle over school lunches. New federal guidelines pushed by the First Lady have cafeterias serving up healthier foods, and a new study finds those lunches may be better than the ones parents pack for their kids. ABC's Claire Shipman has.
All right, before we get to Claire Shipman, Mrs. Jay Carney. Who's Jay Carney? Well, he used to be Obama's flack. It shows you how one hand washes the other or wipes the other in the news business, right? You have Claire Shipman, whose husband used to work for Obama, right? Now she's going to do a story on the First Lady's lunch program. I love this. And here's the deal. Have you ever read Brave New World? You ever read 1984? Heck, even if you haven't, just say you have. And I can remember, I think it was in ninth grade or 11th grade. They were all the same because, you know, let's face it, if you don't get it right, you just repeat it again and again and again until you get it right, or they give you the boot with a loving kick to the derriere. But regardless of that, Huxley's Brave New World, it was about government superseding the lives of everyone. You take a pill to be happy. Does this sound familiar? You take a pill to be sad. You take a pill to go out on a date, and kids aren't birthed by parents. It's called hatcheries. Very similar to the world we live in today. 1984, George Elwell, the totalitarian state. And just listening to Stephanopoulos, and this is the subtleties of the mainstream or lamestream media, that here's a new report that says government-sanctioned lunches are more healthier than what you, the parent, create, cook, make for your children's. The government. Hey, how about that new study about all the people bailing out of the school lunch program? Tough for the Boise schools to do that for the simple reason that it costs $5 million for the federal school lunch program, or for the school lunch program. They get over, is it $3 million from the feds? So if you don't adhere to the guidelines, you don't get the money. In other words, no ticky, no punchy. Let's hear more from George Stephanopoulos, or I'm sorry, Claire Shipman. Claire?
The story.
School cafeteria lunches. For years, they've been the butt of jokes.
Lady, you're scaring us.
But this morning, a new study suggests they may actually be healthier than those good old brown bag lunches prepared at home.
Our overall findings of the study were that packed lunches were of less nutritional quality than school lunches.
Registered dietitian Alicia Ferris and her team of researchers collected data on 1,300 packed and school lunches over five consecutive school days.
Where'd they get her at, the Muppets?
They came from pre-K and kindergarten students in three schools in rural Virginia. The findings? Those packed lunches contained less fruit, fewer vegetables, and less milk than the school lunches. The packed lunches also contained more savory snacks like chips and crackers and more sugar-sweetened beverages.
I was surprised by just how great the differences were.
I'm telling you, she should be on the Muppets. So is it a wonder that we have the government intruding? And by the way, who elected the First Lady to be the czar, the czarest of all that is nutritional when it comes to what you can and can't eat? And here you have, again, the politicization of the office of the presidency and the office of the First Lady. You remember, and you might have heard this because we had it on our program, and I don't really like going too much into race because here in Idaho, although we are vilified, race is a non-issue here. And race is a divider, but some folks, some hosts and talk radios continue to talk about race. But you remember the clip of the First Lady that during the election, that if everybody votes for the Democrats, it's okay to have some fried chicken. And I remember hearing that and going, man, that is not good. And I think she was on a radio show. Maybe it was an urban radio show, but to even say that, y'all should be able to have some fried chicken. Now, people in Chicago don't say y'all, and it was patronizing, and I'm thinking to myself, ouch. Out of the same incredibly smart woman, we have the nutritional guidelines. And by the way, look, her husband's in good shape. I don't know if he still smokes or not. But, I mean, he loves Five Guys burgers. So what does that really say when you have an administration with their priorities, look at the health exchange, look at everything else, that they're going after the little kids? And then you have this study from Virginia Tech that parents aren't equipped to properly give their kids the nutrition. Let's leave it up to the government. Well, I'm sorry. The government did not create the United States of America. The government is the product of people that created the United States of America. So if kids want to sit back and have a lunch from their parents, as opposed to government-issued, government-sanctioned things, let's face it, they should have the ability to do this, shouldn't they? They should have the ability to sit back and get lunches from home. But the remarkable thing here at 580KIDO is what they want these folks to do is to be more dependent on the schools, and the schools have enough issues to be more dependent on the government and not trust the family. I think this book is out of print. Maybe you can get it on Amazon. It's called The U.S. of Incompetence. It was written by Art Carey, I think, a writer from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And he traces why the roads don't work, why there's no work ethic, why the schools don't work. And I'm not saying that the schools don't work, but this was his premise, to the erosion of the family. And we should be encouraging people to put that love and kindness in that bag lunch, then distorting it, right? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kay Miller with you here at 580KIDO. And last segment I was telling you, and you know, I apologize for this. I should have done this right before or after the election, but I withheld judgment. And it's this issue involving school lunch programs and just what is and what isn't reported by the mainstream press. And this is something that, well, it was aired by the News One Now program, whatever that is. And it's a friend of mine, actually. We used to do CNN together. His name is Roland Martin. And I always thought that Roland and I had some chemistry. And a couple years ago, Roland was still at CNN before, I guess he's an advisor now. And Roland's very passionate. And at one time, he was a rising star. Now, not so much. And I can remember getting my picture taken with Roland Martin. The political correspondent, Dustin Cook, took the picture. And I said, hey, da-da-da-da. And he just kind of, yeah, and just moved along. Well, Roland had a chance because he's from Chicago, and he has access to the First Lady. He did an interview with Michelle Obama. And again, this is old news, but if, in case you didn't miss it, I can't really do it justice. So let's take a listen.
For us not to take this seriously.
So can we, if we go into the polls, can we say, if we haven't sold to the polls on Sunday, can we do soul food after we vote?
Well, before that, souls for the polls? Okay.
Absolutely. I give everyone full permission to eat some fried chicken after they vote. Only after, if you haven't voted.
Well, just checking.
You make a good point, because I do talk about health, but I think that a good victory for Democrats on Tuesday, you know, should be rewarded with some fried chicken.
And some collard greens and some mac and cheese.
Well, the collard greens are fine. That's vegetable,
okay.
Roland. So, you know.
It is. But is the yams a vegetable too?
Roland.
This is compelling stuff here. This is worthy of a Pulitzer.
Come on. Now, you know, yams are good. Sweet potatoes. It's
right.
A root vegetable.
Don't
put too much butter or honey in it.
Oh, okay.
Brown sugar. Just, you know, just bake it. We turning this into a cooking show?
I still have not found asparagus cooked well that's going to make me eat it. You tried. We did that special. It didn't work.
There are other vegetables that you can have, Roland.
Okay.
That are good for you.
I'm just checking.
I know.
And these folks are in charge or want to be in charge of your kids' nutrition. Not saying anything negative because we don't do that anymore. However, leave the comments to yourself, folks.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. So when people start talking about that you don't know how to make a good lunch for your kid, hey, man, that's your kid. The government has no right to sit there and say, well, the parents today, they sit back and they don't know proper nutrition. We have done so well with raising kids without the expansion of government. Let's refrain from it. Let's regress it. Let's move it back as opposed to bigger is better. More is better, right? That's how I see it anyway. So speaking of the expansion of government, we take a look at schools and whether or not at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that government-funded preschool is a social movement, a civil right. Yes, because we all know that if you want something in life, you just declare that it's a civil right, right? You take a look at gay marriage, it's a civil right. You take a look at whether or not people should be in the military, it's a civil right. How about government-funded preschool? Isn't that kindergarten? Well, no. I ask any parent at 580KIDO whether it's a preschool. I mean, you have preschool, you have kindergarten, you have first grade, right? Here's the Secretary of Education talking about all that's good with you paying for people's preschools.
We want to continue to partner. We want to continue to co-invest with you. Please challenge us and hold us accountable for being a good partner. But think about the implication, not just for the children that all of you care about here, but think about the implications nationally if L.A. and the L.A. community can fully go to scale, or if California can fully go to scale. What kind of example is that set for the rest of the nation? And then the final thing I'll say, I talked about this earlier, is for me, this is, yes, it's about education. Yes, it's about social justice. Yes, it's about economic opportunity.
Education and social justice. Oh, the words of a Reverend Wright emanating from the Secretary of Education. What is social justice? Now, it's almost like, well, I don't know. I at one time, there's a gentleman, and we need to work to get him back on, Maury Taylor. And you're going, Maury Taylor? Who's Maury Taylor? Maury Taylor is the CEO of Titan Wheels, Titan Industry. And back in 1996, back when Kevin Miller was a young talk show host, still plump, had a little bit more hair. Anyway, Maury Taylor ran for president. He called himself the Bear. And in the end, the Bear looked at me and said, well, Kevin, I've got to go back to the real world. And this age of politics, it's almost like Game of Thrones. It's like House of Cards. It's like the fairy tales that we live in. Who's this guy talking about social justice? Okay, I go up to my boss at work and say, I demand social justice. He's going to look at me and say, get back to work. Timmy, I mean, do any of us live in the world of social justice?
About a million different things. It's about reducing what we spend in the backside to lock people up. But at the end of the day,
reducing what we spend in the backsides of locking people up. Heck, why would we cut that?
I mean, this is really a social movement. And if you look at social movements, we all celebrate what happened in the 1960s. The civil rights movement was extraordinarily powerful. Life transforming, earth shattering. But the question I have is, why didn't the civil rights movement happen in the 50s or the 40s or 30s or 20s?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too, but I don't know what the civil rights movement has to do with taxpayer funded preschool. By the way, I love how he says LA and California. Heck, we know folks that have lived in California. Some of them are here. Why? Why'd they leave? Because the state is going broke. But let's not stop social justice. Timmy here.
And how many more young people, how many more families would have had opportunities that simply didn't exist because that movement came too late for them? You look at the movement now around gay marriage and marriage equality and gay rights that California is absolutely helping to lead. And it's fantastic that's happening now.
Actually, it's the courts that are leading it, not California.
But why didn't that happen 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 decades ago? And think how very different so many of our American citizens, how different their lives would have been if they would have had the opportunity to live outside the shadows and to marry who they loved. And so for me, the question, I know universal access to high-quality early learning is coming. It is the right thing. It is a triumph of common sense. But I don't want to be talking about the victory 40 years from now.
The triumph of common sense. And I don't want to talk about the victory 40 years from now. We're talking about preschool. Preschool. And this is the Secretary of Education. Now, again, I try and look at things from a nonpartisan yet conservative perspective. And I have to say, it's as if this guy is speaking a different language. I mean, really, a different language from the rest of us. Social justice, universal this, the triumph of common sense. Are we living in a territorial, tyrannical society? Well, some would argue yes when we're talking about health care. But what is this guy espousing? And he's within the Department of Education. And I know we've had battles, and we will continue to have battles over Common Core. And I truly believe in my heart and soul here, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, that if you want to save America, if you want to save the schools, that you have to take a look at some of these government regulations, these unfunded government regulations, and go back to localism. Go back to the parent, the teacher, the local school districts working it out. Bigger is not better when it comes to education. We're seeing that now. On the other hand, we have to devote the correct amount of resources. I don't think that comes from Washington. It should come from your local school district. Time for traffic. You're listening to Kevin Miller.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Adio. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Hope you're enjoying the day. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. But you can just sit back and relax as we just look over a few things. And you know, one issue that I don't think that can be ignored is the takeover, the blatant raw takeover of 1/6 of the economy through the president grabbing the health system and the insurance companies grabbing the health system. And people are wondering, heck, the news media already accusing the Republicans of looking to take down the president's most treasured accomplishment, the Affordable Care Act.
Over both houses of Congress, vowing to undo Mr. Obama's most treasured accomplishment, the Affordable Care Act.
Now, did people really want the Affordable Care Act? Did people really want this? Look, on one hand, I'm not going to judge. Kevin, talk radio is about judge. That if you don't judge people, you're a wimp, you're a marshmallow, you're a sissy. Yeah, I get that, but I'm not going to judge somebody whose family has cancer, who's somebody who pays into the system, and because you have an insurance company. Look, I understand private entities, but I also understand that when people get denied coverage because of alleged pre-existing conditions, right? I mean, let's face it, the healthcare system wasn't perfect, but it sure looked like a gem before we have it today. If people were happy with healthcare, there would have been no wave that we saw during the November elections, right? I mean, here's the skinny on this. We have Jonathan Gruber on Obamacare talking about what he did. And we'll get to Jonathan in a minute here at 580KIDO. Let's face it. We were sold a bill of goods, and anybody who has used their medicine, look, Congressman Simpson, he's gotten his coverage canceled. Tea Party Bob got his part canceled, right?
This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies.
Which is interesting because didn't John Roberts, almighty John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, when he talked about the validity of the law, talked about taxes, that it was a tax? Correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Supreme Court got it right, got it wrong, got it right, got it wrong. You know where I'm going with this. And here now we have this bumbling, stumbling bureaucrat going, hey, the fix was in.
Okay, so it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Okay, just like the people.
Yeah, but that's what it was supposed to do. The vibrant, dynamic millennials that don't need health care, that aren't regulated by medicine, they were going to jump in and subsidize the old and the frail, much like Social Security, right? Of course, he's admitting that they didn't tell the truth. So why should people keep it around? This is a nonpartisan. Isn't healthcare just like energy a pocketbook issue, right?
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was...
Come on. The stupidity of the American voter? The American voter was lied to by the press. The American voter was misled by the president. Remember that when he joked about shovel-ready jobs? And please don't say, oh, all you're doing is bashing Obama. No, I'm not. I'm bashing the policies. Of course, if the Republicans make a move on it, they'll be vilified, ridiculed, the wave after wave of press. I mean, the pro-Obama press, it's like they're petulant children that are angry that they lost. They lost. But they don't see it that way.
It's really, really critical to get anything to pass. And, you know, it's the second best argument. Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent. But I'd rather have this law than not. So it's kind of like his reporter story. You know, yeah, there's things I wish I could change, but I'd rather have this law than not.
We know what's best for you. And we're passing this law. And the road to blank is paved with good intentions. The law is better than following the principles of truth. Only in Obama's America, right? If the folks have any guts, they repeal that thing, they repeal that thing, they repeal that thing, and override his veto. Of course, then you have to have a plan for that, right? Oh, scary thoughts, scary thoughts. But we're inspired. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to...